This is an audio archive edition of Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, sevillepodcast.com.
Delegate David Toscano of Charlottesville joins us in studio, and you're just back from Italy, right? A vacation in Italy?
Vacation in Italy, and I represent a good portion of Albemarle County, too. I have 18,000 voters in Albemarle County.
I always forget that, but yeah, that's true, because you think of this seat as being Charlottesville, but it's not.
There are 21,000 voters in the city and 18,000 in the county, so it's roughly equal.
That's a lot of people.
A lot of people.
And where is it in the county? Is it the urban ring, or does it go one particular direction?
It's largely the urban ring, but it goes west out to Ivy.
And
it does not go south, like Mill Creek, for example, is in the 58th district. Anything south of 64 generally is in the 58th. North of Rye Road is generally in the 58th.
Okay, which is Rob Bell.
Rob Bell, yes.
And if you move out past Ivy, you say Steve Landis.
Rob to some portion, and then Steve.
Okay, alrighty. So your first year in the General Assembly, you, of course, folks should know that you were mayor of Charlottesville for many years and served on city council. When I was a young cub reporter and would go to meetings, you were always there working away till very late in the evening. I remember thinking, I don't see how those people do it. I get to go home and they're still there working. But you are now serving in the Virginia House of Delegates, a delegate from this area, and this was your freshman term. And we wanted to have you in here for a recap of the whole General Assembly session this year and all the issues. How was it?
Good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, it's kind of ironic. I was thinking about this the other day. The session began on January 11th, and that was my 8-year-old son's birthday.
Oh, gosh.
And, of course, then we got out of there on June 28th, and that was my birthday. So you figure out the significance of that. But it was an experience right from the very beginning. You know, usually you think the first day is going to be like the first day of a college course where you go there and you spend 10 minutes reviewing the syllabus and then you're out and you can party. And in fact, we had planned kind of a celebration, and we got in there, and rather than having a 15-minute pro forma session, we got involved in a 3.5-hour debate about rules. I learned about rules on the first day because the Republican majority in the House of Delegates wanted new rules that would, I guess you could say, help solidify their position. They said it was to run things more efficiently. It did a little bit of both, in fact. But there was a huge debate, and it just lasted for hours. And a lot of the folks who came down from this area were in the party room, and I wasn't there to celebrate with them. So,
let's start with some of the things you're most proud of for this freshman term in the General Assembly in the House of Delegates. Some of the things you can point to and say, you know, I'm really excited about that. And then we can look maybe at some of the things that were some disappointments for you.
Well, sure. I mean, we talked about the good, and the big good was that we finally did get a budget, and that budget is a good budget, and especially for this area. You talk about raising teacher salaries 4%, and that gets us closer to meeting the goal that a lot of us had set when we ran for office, which was to raise teacher salaries to the national average. We've got in this budget some pretty good raises for faculty members at the University of Virginia, for state employees statewide. The university makes out very well in this budget. In fact, higher education does quite well. The University of Virginia has substantial funding for its capital budget, which is very good for this area because it creates a lot of employment. There is $25 million for a clinical cancer center at the university, which is a good way along the road to help create that center. It's going to be a $100 million project. But
is that the Emily Couric Center?
Well, people
different?
Don't use that name, but there's a lot of talk that is the Emily Couric Center. It is a clinical cancer center. A lot of folks who are supportive of Emily have worked very hard to try to make that a reality. There's a lot of money into clean up the Chesapeake Bay for water quality. Albemarle County Schools and the City of Charlottesville City Schools both make out very well in this budget. The standards of quality, which is the state mandated standards that are used in jurisdictions across the Commonwealth, were what they call re-benchmarked so that the state put more money into funding the basic things that are necessary for school divisions to be good. So there are a lot of good things in the budget, and that's the big budget. And at some point, we can talk about things that that I got done that I felt pretty good about, given that I'm a freshman. But that was the big good out of this session.
Let's do that. But real quick, folks should know that the budget actually covers 2 years. Virginia doesn't go in and pass a budget for 1 year. It's a two-year budget, and that's one reason it probably takes so long to do it, because you're looking out for the next 24 funding things 24 months down the road.
Exactly. And then in the next session, there'll be adjustments to the two-year biannual budget, but it's not going to be it's only a 45-day session, not a 60-day session, and there's not going to be as much debate on this as there was in the last session.
We're talking with Delegate David Toscano of Charlottesville. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, some of his accomplishments as a freshman in the House of Delegates and what it's really like your first year in the House of Delegates. We'll hear from David when we get back. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
Charlottesville Right Now on News Radio 1070 WINA.
We're talking with Delegate David Toscano of Charlottesville about his first term in the General Assembly session. What are some of the things that you are most proud of that you either sponsored or that you had a hand in? Because it's hard to get stuff done your first year. I have a brother-in-law in the Indiana State House, and he was telling me about how very difficult it is to do anything your first term in the General Assembly.
Well, I think it is very difficult, and especially difficult for a freshman in a minority party. You got to remember, in the House of Delegates, there are 57 Republicans, 40 Democrats, and 3 Independents, and I'm one of those 40 Democrats. And, you know, I didn't realize how difficult it would be until I started working this affordable housing initiative that the city of Charlottesville had requested that I introduced. And that was very difficult because it was a charter amendment, and a charter amendment requires a supermajority, 67%, have to vote in both the House and the Senate to get it passed. So even if I have 40 Democratic votes, that means I have to find 27 at least Republican votes.
Half of the Republicans.
Yeah, that's right. And so that was a very educational experience on how I got that done. And actually,
so you did get it passed.
I did get it passed. We ended up with, I think, 97 votes. And the key to it was that we enlisted the support of a fairly conservative Republican who was involved in one of the subcommittees. And it starts with the subcommittees and moves its way through. And I think what it points out is what people don't really understand sometimes, that it takes cooperation to get anything done. I could never have gotten that passed without the support of a lot of people. It's not my success. It's the success of all the people who thought it was a good idea. I got a lot of credit for it here, and it's an important initiative, but I couldn't have done it alone by any means.
Yeah, and that's one thing. I know you won't say this or agree to it, but that's one of the things a lot of observers had said that Mitch didn't get, who had his office before you, didn't get the... He may have got it, I should say that, but he didn't practice it enough, this idea that you got to reach out to the other side, you got to put together these coalitions instead of just always standing on principle and not getting as much done as you perhaps could if you were willing to compromise and work with the other side, the majority party in many cases.
Well, you know, every day is a learning experience, and every day I was down there, I learned a little bit more about the individuals who make the place tick and who you have to go to try to get their support, and it's all a process, a learning process.
Delegate David Toscano is our guest. What's it like being a freshman? You know, policy aside, bills aside, what's it really like being the new kid down there, the little baby delegate?
Well, you know, it's very interesting, and I spent 12 years in local office, and you wouldn't think that someone with that experience would have be nervous about being in the General Assembly, but boy, I was nervous. And you're taught very early that you don't really get up on the House floor and say very much as a freshman. They have what's called a pop-up rule, and they really look down on people who, quote, pop up too often to speak on an issue, especially freshmen. And I'll never forget, in the first week, we had a freshman who popped up to give a long speech on the marriage amendment, of all things, and just people looked at him askew for months and months and months. Well, with me, you know, I didn't get up until my first bill hit the floor. And that was an interesting experience. It was a little nursing bill designed to try to gather more data on the nursing shortage to figure out where we should concentrate our resources to help solve the problem, because we have a huge problem nursing in the Commonwealth. It was the first freshman bill to get out of committee and get to the House floor. So I got to get up and present the bill, you know, and I'm nervous. It's all get out. You know, I'm sort of shaking, and I've written down all my words. I get up there, and, of course, they're going to haze you. You know, the hazing was on. And so I presented the first bill, and the speaker said, shall the bill pass? And you're looking at this tote board, and the tote board has all the names of the assembly members, and they have red dots and green dots. The green dots signify yes. The red dots signify no. And I'm looking at that board, and I'm looking at all the red dots coming up there. You know, in other words, they're going to vote this thing down. And, of course, it was all part of the hazing because immediately it was moved to be reconsidered, and they all voted it through. And my freshman colleagues, both the Republicans and the Democrats, didn't know what was going on, and they're saying, hey, this is a good bill, and this is a nice guy. Why don't we support this bill? And all these red dots are showing up. But that's part of the hazing process. I sort of knew that was going to happen, and so I could sort of laugh at it as it was unfolding, but it does show that there's some degree of collegiality that exists in the body, and hopefully we can get through some tough issues using that sense of good play.
That's actually encouraging that they still do stuff like that, because like you said, it does express a certain playfulness in a body, especially the House of Delegates in Virginia right now, which doesn't get a lot of press attention for being playful. Mm-hmm. It's sort of just the opposite. And you read newspaper reports all the time how spiteful the House Republicans are and how mean they are. And so it's nice to know that they like to have fun, at least.
Yeah, there's some degree of fun. And, you know, of course, there's some serious politics to go on. And some of the things that ended up at the end of the session weren't really encouraging. But
yeah, we'll get to that after, you know, we want to talk about that extended session and those final days in there and how this budget really came to pass. But before we do, was there one or two big political lessons that you brought home with you after your first term in the General Assembly? Some things that you maybe didn't really know before that you learned?
Well, I mean, it did reinforce something that I've known all along, and that is to get anything done, you need a lot of people working together. And I think that's going to be our big challenge in transportation. There are some pretty strong ideological divides now on this issue in the General Assembly, and we're going to have to figure a way to bridge those gaps if we're going to get anything done. Because in the year 2010, if something doesn't change, we're not going to be able to access federal matching money for transportation construction projects in the Commonwealth of Virginia. That would be a disaster for the Commonwealth, and we're going to have to find a way to fund the match. It's not going to be easy because it's never easy to raise fees, never easy to raise taxes, but we're going to have to find a way to find the revenue to get that done.
And I have even heard Republicans say it may not have happened this year, but what Kaine proposed and what the Senate Republicans proposed of putting $1 billion more into the budget each year to handle this new construction and this maintenance for transportation, it's going to happen at some point, probably in the next 3 or 4 years. It's almost inevitable. And I've certainly heard Democrats say that, but I've also heard Republicans have whispered that to me as well.
Well, the question is, how do you find the revenue? And I think you may be able to find some of it through savings in the general fund if the economy stays good. I know that there's some people in the governor's office who feel very strongly you shouldn't tap the general fund because you're tapping into funding for school books and water quality and important issues like that. But long term, it's probably going to have to be some kind of mix. You're going to have to get some money probably out of the general fund and maybe try to figure out a way to enhance the transportation trust fund through some kind of revenue enhancement.
Delegate David Toscano is our guest. This is Charlottesville Right Now. Let's take a quick break for some local news. And when we get back, we'll talk about what you said was your worst day in Richmond. When we get back, this is Charlottesville Right Now.
Hi, I'm Larry Sabato, and I'm going barefoot.
You're listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot on News Radio 1070. WINA.
We are talking with Delegate David Toscano, had his freshman term in the Virginia House of Delegates this year, and he joins us for a little recap, a little exit interview of what happened, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And before we get to the ugly, we were talking about getting bills passed and making things happen as a freshman delegate, and you were telling me about there was some bill to do with adoption that went down.
Sure, well, you know, I didn't carry a lot of legislation because I really wanted to see how the process worked. But one of the things you find out is if you insert yourself, even as a freshman, you can have an impact on legislation. I serve on the Courts of Justice Committee. That committee considers more legislation than any single committee in the House of Delegates. And I've been very interested in adoption for a long time. And in the campaign, I said that if I was there, I was going to do what I can to streamline adoption and make it more available to more people. And needless to say, three or four bills on adoption came through the Courts of Justice Committee, and they required substantial rewrites. And because I was there and offered myself to help do it, and because I was a lawyer and I knew a little bit about adoption, I was able to help rewrite the adoption statutes in Virginia. And even though they were not my bills, it's probably one of my greatest accomplishments, at least that I feel, during the assembly session. They all got passed through the House and the Senate and were signed by the governor.
Literally rewrite the statutes, not
well,
figuratively. But
yeah, literally. I mean, there were so many bills and they were so complicated. In fact, we're still going to have to come back next term and do some technical amendments to them because they are very complex. But the good thing I took away from it is that people are willing to work together and they're willing to give you some authority, even if you're a freshman in the minority party.
And speaking of being a freshman in the minority party with the House Republicans, let's talk about the ugly. We have the good, the bad, and the ugly. That last day when the governor's amendments came back and you went down there to Richmond, it was the last session to finalize this budget and finally approve it. And you called on the way back, and you told our listeners, you said, you know, that has to be one of the worst days I've ever had in Richmond. What happened?
Well, I think everybody's, of course, everybody's patience is really at its end at that point because we'd been there for so long. And the governor didn't have a lot of time to put together his amendments to the budget. But I'd been working on an issue involving funding for child care for working families in this area. And we got news in May that the federal government, that the state wasn't not able to pass through money that the feds made available for working families child care. And for 100 and some families in this area, it might have made the difference in whether they would be able to keep their children in child care or even keep their jobs because they needed the child care to free them up for the time to work. So,
and this is the, I don't mean to interrupt you, but this is the United Way program, right?
Yes.
Child care scholarship. And we had John Knopfinger, who oversees that program. We had him in a couple of weeks ago to talk about this program that, you know, if you got to have a government program, this is a really good one. It helps keep people out of welfare, and there is a graduation rate from the program where they move even farther away from welfare into the job market. They get better jobs. They can afford their own child care. And it's a program that works. And we talked with Steve Landis about it, and he said it is a good one. He didn't vote to support it, but he said on this show, he said it is a good program, and I would like to see it funded in the future.
It is a great program. We were trying to figure out a way to save it, and at the last minute, the governor came up with a way. And so he submitted a budget amendment that would have affected everyone in this Commonwealth. And it was a reasonable amendment. All it said is that if there was any unexpended money at the end of this year's budget cycle, then we could use portions of it to help fund these programs around the state. Well, you know, it sort of got lumped into a partisan position, and some people were out to kill the governor's amendments, so they just put this in one batch, didn't allow any debate on the issue, didn't allow any discussion on the issue, and as a block with a number of other things, including some money for Lynchburg for sewer overflow, they just killed it. Kill it all.
No debate.
No
anything.
Debate, no discussion. And, you know, I think that there are reasonable arguments against funding that, and they should have been discussed because I think if it had been discussed, we would have had an opportunity to prevail because I think reason was on the side of this program.
And what disappointed you most about that the majority party in the House of Delegates that day cut off any discussion, or that they had lumped all those bills together and voted them down, or all of them?
I think the fact that they weren't even willing to discuss the values of the programs and have an up or down vote on each individual program was what was most disappointing. The irony, of course, is that they said, well, you know, it's going to take too much time to go through this. They took so much time taking recesses, trying to get together in their caucus to figure out what they were going to do, that we were there, I think, I don't know, 6 hours. It wouldn't have taken as long just to tee up the issue, debate it, vote on it,
and
so the people know where you stand.
And the money for that program that Kane had put in there for this program in Charlottesville was like $245,000. And they voted that down, but they gave $4.5 million to the Virginia Horse Center, which if you ever wanted a black hole of money, it's the Virginia Horse Center. That just shocked me. I couldn't believe that.
Well, the $240,000 really was a pittance, and I can't remember if the Horse Center was voted on earlier in the session or not, but that was the appropriation. That was in the budget, and I think people have drawn that comparison. And I think it's a reasonable comparison to draw.
Was there a lesson there for you if on that day? You yourself couldn't have steered that course differently. That was the majority party. But was there some kind of lesson that you might have taken away from that?
Well, it was pretty clear that the Republican caucus had bound their caucus. In other words, there were no people who were going to vote differently than the Republican caucus position. And I guess it reinforced the general sense that I had of the session, which was that the House Republican caucus was very disciplined in their position against no new fees, no new taxes, unless you're a bad driver, and then you get new fees. But, they were pretty clear in their position all the way down the line. You got to give them credit. They didn't mince words about it. That's what their position was, and they held to it.
Yeah. What was the situation with Lynchburg? Because we talked a little bit about that on this program, but what was the situation there? Why is it important?
It's important because Lynchburg, when they dump sewage into the James, wherever it comes from Lynchburg, it comes down through Albemarle County, Fluvanna County, all the way through Richmond, all the way to the Chesapeake. And the irony is on the House floor during the debate, we had the big storm. So all the sewage overflow is flowing into the James. And the delegate from Lynchburg was going to get up and say, well, you know, here's the headline, sewage being jumped into the James, and it's 4 hours later, and it's now here in Richmond. You know, so the irony, of course, is that we're spending all this money on Chesapeake Bay cleanup. And a small amount of money, $3.7 million, which would have been in the governor's amended budget, was rejected by the House and therefore killed last minute.
And that was money that would have gone to repair the sewers in Lynchburg such that they didn't have the waste overflowing into the James. And they had the same problem in Richmond with the sewers, and they approved money for Richmond.
Yes, and it made sense to approve both. But for whatever reason, and again, it's hard to get into the heads of everyone, and they never debated it, so we really never found out all the reason why, it was lumped together and killed.
Delegate Shannon Valentine of Lynchburg will be our guest next week to explore that issue in some more detail. And she told me on the phone yesterday that she may have good news next week. They may be able to find some money to fix their sewers, but we'll see. We're talking with Delegate David Toscano of Charlottesville. Let's take a quick break. And if you have a question or a comment for David, please give us a call, 977-1070. Phone lines are open. The show is Charlottesville right now. News Radio 1070, WINA. Come out and say hello next Thursday at the Fashion Square Mall. Z95.1, 3WV, and WINA will all be broadcasting live all day long from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. at the Fashion Square Mall parking lot, Emmett Street side over there. Help raise money for our good friend Dick Mountjoy. It's a medical fundraiser, and we look forward to seeing you out there. That's next Thursday, July 27th. We're talking with Delegate David Toscano of Charlottesville, his first year in the General Assembly this year. We've been talking about his experience this year. What's up for next year? Do you already have plans? Do you have your eye on bills that you perhaps want to carry next year, or are you sort of still thinking about it? Have people approached you with ideas? Sure.
Well, people have approached me with ideas, and, in thinking about what I'm going to be doing in the legislature this year and in years in the future, I want to be effective. And so I'm going to really be picking my spots. Again, in the minority party, you got to find ways you can work with people to try to get things done. There will be some bills that I might try to advance that maybe don't have much of a chance of getting passed, but I feel they're important enough that I just have to put them on the table and we got to have to talk about them. I offered a minimum wage increase bill last year. It actually got 4 votes in a subcommittee, almost got out of subcommittee. for the first time in a long time, and that would have raised the minimum wage in Virginia over the course of a couple of years, a couple of dollars. There are something like 18 states now that have done it independent of the federal government. I might be back with something like that next year. If not, I'm going to go at it in a different way through what's called the earned income tax credit that will help people at the lowest levels of earnings keep more of their money. There's some other ideas I have to try to do something to help folks who may make application to try to find out what their insurance policies read, and then all of a sudden their rates are increased even though they've made no claims. There are some issues that are arising out of the public schools in Albemarle and Charlottesville related to drinking, underage drinking. I may be requested by the local school board to do something on that. I've got a file now that I'm keeping, and out of that I'm going to go through and say, well, this is a good bill to introduce. It might not get passed, but I'm going to introduce it anyway. This is a bill that has a reasonable shot. Let's concentrate our efforts on this. And I'm always looking for ideas from constituents. One of the best bills I had last time was an energy bill that came to me from a constituent right at the last minute. And I was really leery about introducing the bill, but it turned out to be a great bill, and it was to encourage more use of more renewable energy. We got it passed. A lot of people thought it was a good bill.
Yeah. And you really do have to look at that legislation and think also as well from a strategic standpoint as a freshman member of the minority party. Is this a smart bill for me to introduce that's going to help me in my position in dealing with the other side and dealing with my party leaders? And is it going to advance me to a point where I can help my constituents more?
That's right. The more credible I am down there, the more I can help people here. And it's about building relationships with other people, building a reputation, and trying to do good government things in Richmond.
Yeah. Were there any other big things that came out of this year that disappointed you, whether it was in terms of politics or anything that you went down there and you just shook your head? We've heard some of them, I guess, a little partisanship maybe that's preventing good things from happening. But any other things that come to mind that you perhaps would like to see changed in Richmond?
Well, I think that we would benefit by more transparency in government. I mean, I used to hear that term all the time in local government. I think we're very transparent local government, both Albemarle and Charlottesville. Some of the rules that got passed during this session are very concerning to me because it allows subcommittees in the House of Delegates to kill bills with unrecorded votes. And constituents go to these meetings and they don't understand what happens. And if you're back here, you definitely don't understand what happens. And there's a lot of important legislation that gets killed in subcommittee and no one's accountable. And no one is to be held accountable. And I feel very strongly that when people are elected to public office, they need to be held accountable. And if you don't know how they vote, you can't hold them accountable.
Delegate David Toscano has been our guest this hour. What are the plans for transportation? There's some talk that y'all are going back in the fall. Do you know more about that than we do?
Well, here's the dirty little secret. We are still in session. We have just recessed the special session until sometime this fall.
That's got to be a record in Virginia.
Well, yeah, I mean.
But when all is said and done.
Is all said and done. Well, I think they're going to call us back sometime in September. But, you know, I'm a little concerned because unless something changes in the dynamic in the House, I don't see how we're going to make much more progress on transportation. We might as well just go to the next election and see how that, what the public thinks about the fact that some folks are sort of blocking any efforts to reach a transportation compromise that will help the Commonwealth.
We were talking in the break about how there's not really a huge cry for transportation solutions from our area as opposed to, say, Tidewater, where it's a mess, or Northern Virginia, where it's a mess. But yet we do see there are ramifications here in our area when it comes to secondary road or new projects. How will that manifest itself?
Well, I think if people looked at the various budgets that were introduced, the Senate budget had $11 million more for Albemarle County over the course of 4 years. That would have helped a great deal because their secondary road budget line items have been declining at the same time as construction costs and maintenance costs are rising. The result is you can't do as much with the money. In Charlottesville, urban mass transit took a real hit as a result of the failure to pass the Senate budget, many millions of dollars. And so Charlottesville and the urban ring of the county is going to be scurrying around to find some money to service those routes in the proper fashion. A lot of people think mass transit's important for the future of our land use in this area, and it's not being properly funded.
Hmm. Now, where can folks find you? Again, we always like to let folks know how they can find David Toscano.
They can find me at 220-1660 or delegatedtoscano@state.virginia.gov. If you go to the General Assembly website and you hit on me, and I'm the only Toscano in the book. I'm very easy to find. You can call me at home.
What do you got planned for this for the rest of the summer? You're working hard, I imagine, trying to catch up on some work.
Well, you know, I do have a business. I'm an attorney, and I'm a practicing attorney, and I have to practice to make a living. So I'm doing a lot of that this summer. I'm meeting with groups to talk about legislation for the fall and trying to further educate myself to do a good job for folks in this area.
Delegate David Toscano, thank you, sir. It's always a pleasure and an honor on my part to have you in here, and we appreciate you taking the time.
Anytime.
Absolutely. That's Delegate David Toscano of Charlottesville, completes his first term in the General Assembly this year, and he'll be headed back next year for more good, more bad, and more ugly. And we'll hear from him again next summer about what's going down. Friday on this program, we'll talk with Matt Harding. Matt is the guy. Go to wherethehellismatt.com. Click on dancing. This guy danced around the world. And if you haven't seen this video, it's one of those viral videos circulating the internet. You really should check it out. It's pretty amazing.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.